Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue this worship service with the singing of Psalter 167. All the stanzas, thou visitest the earth with showers, thy boundless stores supplies its need. For fields enriched and well prepared, thou dost provide the sower's seed. 167, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
The scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first book of the Chronicles, thereof the 16th chapter. And we will read the first 36 verses. But first we will read Article 13 of the Confession of Faith concerning Divine Providence, which you can find on page 14 in the back of the Psalter. Article 13, Divine Providence. We believe that the same God, after he had created all things, did not forsake them nor give them up to fortune or chance, but that he rules and governs them according to his holy will, so that nothing happens in this world without his appointment. Nevertheless, God neither is the author of nor can be charged with the sins which are committed, for his power and goodness are so great and incomprehensible that he orders and executes his work in the most excellent and just manner. Even then, when devils and wicked men act unjustly, and as to what he doth surpassing human understanding, we will not curiously inquire into it further than our capacity will admit of. But with the greatest humility and reverence, adore the righteous judgments of God which are hid from us, contending ourselves that we are disciples of Christ to learn only those things which he has revealed to us in his word, without transgressing these limits. This doctrine affords us unspeakable consolation, since we are taught thereby that nothing can befall us by chance, but by the direction of our most gracious and heavenly Father, who watches over us with a paternal care, keeping all creatures so under his power that not a hair of our head, for they are all numbered, nor a sparrow can fall to the ground without the will of our Father, in whom we do entirely trust, being persuaded that he so restrains the devil and all our enemies that, without his will and permission, they cannot hurt us. And therefore, we reject that damnable error of the Epicureans, who say that God regards nothing but leaves all things to chance. We mentioned 1 Chronicles chapter 16, the first 36 verses. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathai, and Eleb, and Benaiah, and Obadidam, and Jael with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jahaziel the priest with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders in the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which He made with Abraham, and of His oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence, strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, The Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name, and glory in Thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for His presence and a blessing upon His word on this Thanksgiving morning. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, on this beautiful morning in Thy creation, on this day that Thou hast given us, that we may set aside a day of thanksgiving unto Thee, the Creator, the Upholder of all things. Thou who hast made us in Thy image for one purpose, to praise Thee, to glorify Thee, and to live in that joy every moment of our life. But Lord, we have rebelled against Thee, we have sinned against Thee, and by nature, we are born in sin, born spiritually dead, with no desire to live for the purpose that Thou hast created us for, to glorify Thee, to praise Thee, and to live in thanksgiving before Thee every moment of our life. And so, Lord, on this morning of Thanksgiving Day, we must confess our sin, that we are thankless creatures, that we do not live for thy honor, for thy glory, every moment of our life. May we see what a wonder it is that we still have life, that we may again gather in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word, that thou hast extended our life unto this very moment, that we may still be in the time of grace, in the time that we may hear thy word, in the time that thou art willing to work powerfully by thy spirit and word to renew spiritually dead sinners, to translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son, that they would truly begin to live for the purpose that they were created for, to worship, to praise, and to thank thee. Lord, then we beg thee for thy grace, because without thy grace and without thy spirit, there will be no bowing, no worshiping, no praising, and no thanking unto thee. And thou art so worthy. As we have heard from the portion from thy word of how all nature worships thee, praises thee, and all creatures in heaven worship and praise thee in fullness and in perfection. And thou art looking upon us, man that thou hast created, each one of us, looking for that purpose, and has a right to see in our life that we live for thee. Lord, we beg thee then, have mercy upon us. Wash us and cleanse us of all our sins, also of how we live by nature so unthankful. But also thy dear people, how often we are so far from the purpose of living day by day, moment by moment, for that purpose that thou hast created us for. And so, Lord, we all stand before thee in this morning as guilty sinners. Have mercy upon us. Look upon us through thy dear Son. And Lord, yet may we be given to reflect on the past year that thou hast given us, that thou hast given the seasons, that thou hast given rain, that thou hast given sunlight, that thou hast given a time that the seed may be planted in the ground, and that it germinated and grew and brought forth fruit, and that there could be a harvest. It's thy goodness, thy mercy unto us unworthy sinners. Lord, we beg thee then that thy goodness may not only be known in our minds, that we acknowledge it, but that it may be touching our hearts, that our hearts may be broken this morning, that we may be bowing in the dust in adoration that thou art so good to such unworthy sinners, that thou art so merciful to such wretched sinners, because thou hast not only given all things necessary for our bodies, but also thou hast blessed us richly with the precious gift of thy word that can make us wise unto the only way of salvation through thy dear Son. Oh, may we see it today, Lord. Open our spiritually blind eyes of how good and merciful thou art to such unworthy sinners, not only through all things for our body, but especially also for that great gift that thou hast sent into the world of thy dear Son, that thou hast sent him into this world because that we read in thy word that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and we only deserve eternal death. O Lord, we beg thee that thy precious word and who thou art through thy Son would break our hard hearts and that we may be brought to that place, as we know and considered last year, of that one leper before thee in the dust, bowing and yet glorifying and praising and thanking thee for all thy mercy and blessings. Lord, have mercy upon us, come among us with thy word and spirit, and give that sinners may be brought to repentance, that they may be convicted of sin, of how we live so unthankful. We may say it with our mouth, but is it truly in our heart? But also thy people, Lord, remember them. May they also receive instruction. May they also be convicted of their sin, and may it lead them to hide more under the wings of that precious interceding and thanking high priest, that they need him in everything, to be covered with his righteousness and to be washed by his blood. Lord, remember then the whole congregation and also the visitors that may be among us. Thou knowest each heart, each person. Thou knowest all our needs, all our cares. But thou knowest also how we are traveling to a never-ending eternity, whether we are still on that broad way or whether by thy grace we are on that narrow way that leadeth unto thee. Lord, we beg thee, may it be on Thanksgiving Day that sinners would be born again, that they may be convinced and convicted of their sin, led to repentance and to that place of true saving faith. But Lord, remember also thy dear people, care for them. Thy word is profitable for all things, for reproof, for instruction, for doctrine, but also for comfort. May there also be comfort for poor and needy sinners through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, today on Thanksgiving Day. Lord, remember then all those who are mourning, comfort them. All the sick and afflicted, look upon them in mercy. And Lord, remember those who may reflect on the last year, and it may be hard to have a day of thanksgiving. But give, Lord, that the afflictions may be sanctified to their heart, and that they may say, like the poet as we read in the Psalms, it was good for me to be afflicted, that it brought me to that proper place, that I was turned, that I was brought before the Lord as a lost sinner, and that I was brought unto the only Savior. Lord, sanctify then all the callings that come unto us through thy word and through the acts of thy providence. Lord, may it lead us to that one place, bowing before thee, looking unto thee, hoping in thee, and may it be with expectation that thou would come and visit and look upon a poor and needy sinner in mercy through thy Son, and that thou would come and visit poor and needy sinners. Lord, we ask that thou would then remember also our nation on this day. Lord, the world also has a day of thanksgiving. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou not only show us, but also this nation, Canada, that without thee we can do nothing, that without thee we would not be able to live for one second, that without thee we would have no blessings of food and health and life. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, give a revival, give a returning unto thee, that sinners may become sinners, bowing before thee, and that there may also be what we have in our national anthem in that one stanzas, bowing before thee, the supreme ruler of all. Lord, have mercy upon us, because we sin against thee, all thy commandments, but we live as a nation under all thy blessings, living for the benefits and ignoring thee, the giver of all gifts. O Lord, wilt thou then lead to repentance, and that thy blessings, all the benefits we receive, may bring us as lost, undeserving sinners before thee, the giver of all gifts. Lord, we ask that thou would help them today as we gather in thy house for a thanksgiving service to meditate upon thy word and to listen to an exhortation from thee. And Lord, wilt thou bless it to our hearts, open spiritually deaf ears to hear thy voice, enlighten minds to understand the message that is unto us from thy word, and bring it into our hearts. Give opening, take away those hearts of stone, and give a heart of flesh that begins to hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God. And that a heart that begins to long to live for that purpose, to praise, to thank, and to glorify thee. Help each one to listen, Lord. Take away all the distraction, all the hindrances. Help in preaching, Lord. Without thee, we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon thee and thy spirit. Lord, we beg thee, in thy wrath, remember mercy. Come among us, and thou hast promised, Lord, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be among us. Lord, be among us. Otherwise, it's all form and custom. There will be no blessings. There will be no confessing of sin. There will be no bowing. There will be no true worshiping of thee. So, Lord, we beg thee, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal welfare, help, Lord, then. Send help from the sanctuary, and that thy kingdom may come, that sinners would be born again, and that thy dear people may be led, instructed, and also that they may receive comfort that only comes from thee. Have mercy, Lord, then. Do not pass us by. Do not deal with us according to all our sins and iniquities and transgressions, but hear us, answer us, and bless us through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and beg all these petitions for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this morning's service with singing now from Psalter 268, all four stanzas. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise foretell. Come ye before him and rejoice. 268, all stanzas, and the collections for this morning is the first for the church, and the second for Benevolent Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, in the chapter which you heard read to you in 1 Chronicles 16, David is filled with true, deep, profound joy and gladness. Why? The Ark of the Covenant of God, of the Lord, was brought to Jerusalem. The presence of God came into Jerusalem. This is what filled David's heart. His heart that he expressed in Psalm 42. As the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O God, for thee. The ark was brought into Jerusalem. What did this mean for David? What did this mean for this man who was a child of God? It wasn't just the ark. It wasn't the object. It's what the ark represented. He was filled with joy and gladness because the ark represented the glory of God, the presence of Jehovah, that almighty covenant, faithful keeping Jehovah. His presence was coming into Jerusalem. There was a symbol with the ark. Can you understand a little something of David's joy, of David's profound gladness? That one in whom there is blessing for souls, the one in whom there is life, the one in whom there is mercy for absolute unworthy sinners, his presence was coming literally into Jerusalem to dwell in the tabernacle. David's heart was filled with joy and gladness. And this caused David, as we read in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1 and 2, that he gave offerings, sacrifices, sin offerings, and thanksgiving sacrifices. And then we read in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record, and to thank, and praise the Lord God of Israel. David, out of his heart that was touched, moved by the grace of God, radiated with joy and thanksgiving, wrote a psalm. And we read this in verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And the content of the psalm we read from verse 8 all the way through to verse 36. David's psalm of thanksgiving. His heart was filled with thanksgiving unto the Lord. And then he exhorts. He exhorts others to do what he felt in his heart. He longed to give thanks and to praise the Lord. And so he exhorts others. Why? Why does he do this? Because he knows that Almighty God is so worthy that the whole earth, all Israel, and all nations live for one purpose, to thank and to praise the Almighty God. And therefore, he writes in his psalm, verse 34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And this is also recorded, parts of his psalm that he wrote in 1 Chronicles 16, parts are also in the Psalm 106. And so our text for this morning is from Psalm 106, the first verse. Psalm 106, the first verse, where we read, Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So far from God's word, our text, which we'll meditate this morning on Thanksgiving morning. So this text is an exhortation. What is an exhortation? An exhortation is a message strongly urging someone to do something. For example, parent or children, Sometimes your parents need to exhort you. They need to teach you, instruct you to do something. For example, you need to eat your vegetables because it's good for your health. They exhort you. They instruct you because they care for you, what's good for you. And now in this text, it's an exhortation. And this exhortation contains two aspects, two very important aspects for you and me to consider on Thanksgiving. And so our theme this morning, an exhortation on Thanksgiving Day. Two thoughts. Who we are to thank. Who we are to thank. We read in the verse, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord." And the second, why are we to thank the Lord? So an exhortation on Thanksgiving Day. Who we are to thank? We read in the text, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord." And why we are to thank the Lord? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And may the Lord bless his word richly on this Thanksgiving morning, that we would be convicted of our sins, and that we may taste and see something of the goodness and the mercy of God that would lead us to repentance, that we would have broken hearts on this morning on Thanksgiving Day. And so our first thought, who we are to thank. Children, when your mother makes a meal and she works hard, there is times that you say, thank you, Mom, and that's proper. Teenagers, maybe you did something or made something for someone else, and they never acknowledged it. Or maybe they gave thanks to someone else. This upsets you, right? We would understand that. Adults, you know what it feels like when you do something for someone and they don't even appreciate it. They don't have any thanks, no acknowledgement, and they just take it for granted. This is upsetting. And so we see with these simple examples, we know what it is to give thanks, and we know what it is when we do not receive thanks, that it's upsetting for us. And we need to instruct our children to live in thanks. It's proper. It's proper that they learn correct, polite manners. And it's proper for us also to live together in acknowledging each other for how we care and help each other. But this morning we hear an exhortation. We are hearing an exhortation from the Word of God. And you and I live every moment under the providence of God upon his earth, under his eye, under all his blessings. And how do we live under all those blessings? Do we not just live taking it for granted? Daily, hourly, even this moment? Why are you sitting in the bench? Why are you here in church? You received life. You received air. You received health, that you could come to God's health. Do we just take it for granted? Or does it break our hearts? Do we act as if we have the right to these simple things under God? This morning, the Word of God comes to you and me with an exhortation. It's a command. It's an instruction to give thanks and to praise the Almighty God. Psalm 106 begins with this and it ends with this. Verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord." And then we read at the very end, "Praise ye the Lord." So this is an exhortation. Who is giving this exhortation to you and me this morning? Is it the poet, possibly David? No. It's from the Almighty God. The Almighty God speaks through us through his word this morning on Thanksgiving. And the Almighty God is giving an exhortation to you and me. Who are we exhorted to live thanking and praising every day, every moment of our life? Well, let's look again at verse 1. We read two names, two times the same name. And maybe already you know that. What name it is, children? What's the name? Listen, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord." And so we see that name is in all capital letters. Who is that? That's the Almighty Jehovah, the Almighty God. And 23 times only in the book of Psalms, you and I are exhorted to praise the Lord. And 7 times in the book of the Psalms, we are exhorted, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks and to praise the Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth, the one who cares for all things, the one who upholds all things, the one in whom you live and move and have your being, the one in whom we are dependent upon for everything. Without him, we can do absolutely nothing. Nothing physically and absolutely nothing spiritually. We are completely dependent upon him for life. He gives you air even this moment so you can live. He gives you food this morning. You had breakfast this morning. He gave you food so that you could have health. He gave in this year a time that the farmers could plant seed into the soil. And he gave sun to warm that seed that was in the soil so it would germinate, so a plant would come, so that there could be a harvest. He gave rain. He gave sun. Without him, we can do nothing. And he provides everything for your body. He supplies rain. He supplies sun. He controls all things. He gives you health. He gives you sickness. He controls everything. Think of the measles that went through our communities in the past season. And must we not be thankful that many did not die, but that we may still be here living, and may we remember those who are mourning, who experienced death because of measles? The Lord controls everything. We are exhorted to praise the Almighty Jehovah, the covenant, faithful, keeping one, who cares for everything, who holds your and my life in his hands every single moment, and who gives everything for our bodies, but he even does more. Why are you in this church? Why are you not somewhere in the world, in some place where your parents just bring you to all kinds of worldly celebrations? Nothing to do with the heart of thanksgiving. It's because of the Lord's goodness and because of his mercy. It's not because we are any better, but it's because the Lord separated. It's because of him. It's not because of us. And he does even much more than care for our bodies. He brings us under his word, under the administration of the covenant of grace, and pours blessings upon us for our souls. He gives us his precious word. Maybe you thank him. Maybe you got up this morning, and maybe your parents, which was good, and asked the children, what are you thankful for today? And maybe you made a long list. But was one piece of that the Lord sent unto me his precious word? But yet more, he doesn't only give his word, he also sent his son, his only beloved son, into the world to seek and to save sinners. David rejoiced and praised and thanked the Lord for his presence. Do you come to church every time begging for the Lord's presence, begging to the Lord to come among us, to work mightily by the power of the Holy Spirit? And must we not believe, or must we not say, Church of God, that we have experienced in his mercy and in his goodness his presence in this place of worship? But has it brought you as a broken-hearted sinner before him, that you were blessed, an unworthy sinner blessed by the presence of God, by the work of his Spirit through his word? David heard that in Obed-Edom's house there was blessings. And he longed because the ark of the covenant of God was in his house. And he longed for that ark to come to Jerusalem, that there may be blessings in Jerusalem, that there may be blessings for all Israel. He longed for the presence of Jehovah. Do you long for his presence? Or can you live without his presence? How it is in your heart on Thanksgiving morning? Have you been blessed by his presence? By the word and spirit under the preaching of the word in God's house or through the sacraments? Have you been blessed? Has it brought you to a true thanksgiving? There is godly sorrow, absolutely. And that will continue till we die because of who we are and who we remain to be before that almighty good God. And yet, there is also joy, is there not? Should there not be true, profound, deep praise and thanksgiving unto God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord supplies you and me, pouring blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon us for our bodies and for our souls. Everything. Absolutely everything does not come by chance, as we heard from the confession of faith. Everything we receive, it comes from him. Listen, what we read in James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so this morning, from God, God gives an exhortation on Thanksgiving Day that we are to thank only one. And who is that? That supreme holy being that holds our life in his hands. That creator of the heavens and of the earth. Praise ye the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Why do we need an exhortation to give thanks and praise the Lord on Thanksgiving Day? Why do you need an exhortation to give thanks and to praise the Lord? Adam and Eve in paradise before they fell, they didn't need this exhortation because they lived in absolute perfection to this. But we, who are we? Who are we, children? Who are we, adults, teenager, congregation, whoever we are? Who are we? We are fallen, sinful, corrupt creatures. We have separated ourselves from God by our sin, and we're born dead. We're born missing the purpose that God created us, and so we need an exhortation. It's very fitting. We're proud, sinful, rebellious, and Satan does not want us to acknowledge and to thank God for all the blessings. We need an exhortation. We need it every day, but we need it especially on Thanksgiving Day. An exhortation to praise and to thank him, that only one from whom all blessings flow. Children, teenagers, do you never ever thank your mother? Do you never? That's a little picture of who we are before the Lord, because by nature we never ever truly thank the Lord at all. We just live ignoring him and not acknowledging him. Or maybe sometimes you do give thanks to your mom because your dad says, listen, son, daughter, please thank your mother. And so we do it. We do it because we have to. We do it because we're commanded to do it. But it's not with our heart. It's only with our mouth. That's a little picture also of you and me, even on Thanksgiving Day. We know it's Thanksgiving. We know we must give thanks. But do we do it with our whole heart and mouth? Or is it only with our mouth? And so it's good for you and me to be exhorted on Thanksgiving Day to only to thank and to praise the Lord. No, it's not just an outward thing. No, he wants the heart. He wants our whole being. He wants it to come from the depth of our heart, out of our mouth, unto him, to praise and to thank him. And so we all stand guilty. We are convicted again on Thanksgiving of our sin, that we do not meet the purpose that he has created us. That's what sin is. It's missing the target. And the target is to live every moment for the glory and the praise of God. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we read in verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So do you hear about the wrath of God against all ungodliness and unrighteousness? So who are these ungodly and unrighteous people under the wrath of God? Who are they? They know God exists. They know God exists. They have a historical knowledge that there is a God. Like everyone here, I believe we all know. None of us would confess and say that God doesn't exist. We all know that. We know this historical fact. But these people that know that there is a God do not glorify or thank Him. Now let's look at verse 21. Romans 1 verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so we see, they knew that God existed, as we all do, but they were not thankful. They didn't thank Him. They didn't live a thankful life. And what do we read in the Word of God? How the end times will be. One part of that is that men, women, boys, girls upon this earth will be just absolutely thankless. They will live without thanksgiving, living under all the blessings, but absolutely ignoring God. But what about God's children? What about those recipients of God's grace? Do they also need an exhortation today on Thanksgiving Day? May I ask you, recipient of God's grace, do you also need an exhortation? Do I? Yes, we do. Because what do we read in the Word of God? How we are to live, especially those of us who have been blessed, not only with all the earthly goods, but especially with those blessings for our souls. How are we to live? Listen to two texts from the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did you hear it? In everything. In absolutely everything. Everything is everything. There's nothing else. Everything. Give thanks. And now, Ephesians 5 verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so recipients of grace, sheep of the Good Shepherd, may I ask you, and I ask myself at the same time, do we live this way? Do we? Do we live in everything give thanks? Do we live always giving thanks? Always for all things? Is that our life? Is that our life? Do we live this way? But maybe you say, am I called to live praising and thanking the Lord when it's so dark in my life? When everything goes against my flesh? When there's sickness? When there's death? When there's all those afflictions? Am I supposed to live that way? Yes. How? What does the Word of God instruct us? How? How are we to live in this way according to the exhortation, especially in difficult, trying times, in times of mourning even? How? To look above all the circumstances, not trying to reason it out with our minds, but to look above it all and to look up to that almighty, sovereign Lord God of heaven and earth, to acknowledge Him, that He is in control, that nothing happens by chance, and to acknowledge, I don't understand this, but I surrender, I trust, as we read, hopefully also tonight, in the Heidelberg Catechism, that everything comes from His fatherly hand. that he makes no mistake, that he's perfect, that he's wise, and so we need grace upon grace upon grace. And so when we think who we are by nature in connection to this exhortation and who we are even with grace, we all stand guilty on this morning on Thanksgiving. You, unbelievers, you who are only living for self, knowing there is a God, but never truly thanking him, never bowing before him with your hearts. But also you, sheep of the good shepherd, recipients of grace, how poor our life of thanksgiving is. It's poor. It's poor in comparison to what it should be for what we have received and what he has in store for his beloved people. And so, we must say, as we read in Psalm 106, verse 6, we have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly. We all stand guilty on Thanksgiving morning. An exhortation on Thanksgiving Day. Who we are to thank. Who, children? There's only one. The Almighty God, the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Well, we considered some reason. But what do we read in the text? Let's first sing from Psalter 400. Psalter 400, stanzas 1 and 2, 5 and 7. And we'll do that standing. 400, 1, 2, 5 and 7. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Oh, my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing his glorious praises of my God through all my days. 400, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 7.
Thank you.
an exhortation on Thanksgiving Day. Who we are to thank, but why? Why are we to thank that Almighty Jehovah? We heard a few reasons already. Because of all his blessings that he gives physically, but also spiritual blessings. But why was David so full of thanksgiving from the profound depth of his heart? David wrote Psalm 68 for the removal of the ark. And listen to what he wrote in Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. So David's heart was inflamed with praise and thanksgiving for the benefits that could only come from the Almighty God, from Jehovah. And think again of what blessings we heard last night. Those blessings for the sheep of the Good Shepherd for his church. But David wasn't only thankful for the benefits, as we should be, and David rightly was. But David was especially thankful for the giver of those benefits, for the Lord himself, for that Almighty God. And therefore he wrote in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And as we read in Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And so to arouse, to stir up, and may it be by the power of the Spirit, hearts, that we would truly have a Thanksgiving Day out of the dust, that we would truly adore God, let us meditate upon what he says of himself in his word, "For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Historical knowledge. If I asked you, could you name some of the attributes of God, characteristics? I think many of us would also include these two. So we have historical knowledge of who God is, that he reveals himself in his word, but that's not enough. It makes us without excuse, and if that's all that remains to be, we are guilty. And historical knowledge doesn't break the heart, doesn't bring us to the place of true thanksgiving. But we need to experientially know this. What does that mean? We need to experience who God is in our heart for who we are. We need to know him, not just with our head, and to repeat things with the mouth. We need to know him in our hearts. And I'm certain when David, as we read in 1 Chronicles 16, and as we read also in Samuel, that when the ark came in, how he was so filled with joy and how he was even dancing. That's a cultural thing at that time to show great praise and thanksgiving. I'm sure many of the Israelites absolutely didn't understand him at all. Why, David? And his own wife saw him in that situation, filled with joy for the Lord. She didn't understand him at all. In fact, she even despised him. And count on it, recipients of grace. Others don't understand when your heart is radiating with absolute praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord for such a wretch, because they don't know it. You can count on it. The world doesn't understand that we have a thanksgiving that only wants to focus on the Almighty God, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. But those who taste a little something, that God is good, that God is merciful, they can stand beside David at times. And they understand that he wants to write a psalm, and that he wants to exhort everyone to acknowledge him, to praise and to thank him, because he is so worthy. We read in Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord,
For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So we hear of two excellencies, two attributes of God. For he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever. May we meditate then, with the Lord's help, a little something on that God is good, and that his mercy endureth forever, and that the hearts of dead sinners may be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit, not only convicted of their sin, but that there may be born in their heart hearing of who he is, of missing him, and that there would be born a longing for him. But also the hearts of God's dear people may be stirred up, that there may be by the Spirit and grace thanksgiving today. Who does David say is good? Children, are you good? Is man good? No, man is not good. Psalm David wrote in the Psalms, there is none good. No, not one. Not one. He knew himself. So who is good? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? What do we read in Matthew 19, verse 17? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. David writes, the Lord, all capital letters, for he is good. He is good. And we read in Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all. And he is good to us all. Who can say this morning on Thanksgiving, the Lord has not been good to me? Because the whole earth receives blessings in his common grace. But what does good mean? Children, are you good? And we determine things. Good, better, best. But what does good mean? Good means esteemable, deserving of all honor, glory, and praise. For he is good. Jehovah, that Almighty God, he is good. He is worthy today to be esteemed, to be glorified, to be honored, because he is infinite divine goodness. That's his being. That's his being. Really? Yes, it is. Remember Moses? He asked the Lord, show me thy glory. And what do we read in Exodus 33, verse 19? And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. What does that mean? The Lord is saying, my being will pass before thee. So what does that mean? He is saying, my goodness, I'm good, that's my being. And then we read in Exodus 34, verse 6, and the Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah, passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So the Lord is good, for he is good. And out of him who is nothing but good, infinite goodness flows goodness to unworthy sinners. For he is good. Think of all the blessings you have received, for he is good. You receive it all from him who is good. Think of all the spiritual good that you have received, for he is good. It all comes from him. So what do we need this morning? What do you and I need? We need our spiritual eyes open for two things. Two things. Because by nature, our eyes are blind. We don't see who we are, and we don't see who him is good. So we need our eyes opened to see who we are. Who are we? In the sight of him, we're sin. And nothing more than sin. He sees everything as sin. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And yet, he who is good sends so many blessings unto us. In spite of all our sinfulness, in spite of all our wickedness, he blesses us with so much goodness. It's the goodness of God that you receive everything you have. Everything. Every breath of air. Has it ever brought you that the Lord is good to such an unworthy sinner? Has it ever brought you in the dust, bowing before him? Has his goodness ever broken your heart? We read in Romans 2 verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The Lord has been good, has he not? The Lord is good, and he has been good. He gave us everything we need for our bodies, and he has blessed us with his word, and he has sent his son into the world to seek and to save lost sinners. May I ask you, have you experienced something of the goodness of God this past year? What is it that the Lord awakened you to who you are? Yes, that's God who is good, his goodness to you. That he opened your spiritual eyes, that you began to see you're lost. That you see that you're sinful. That he opened your eyes, who you stand before him, that almighty creator, that holy, just God against whom you have sinned. But has he also opened your eyes to see something else? Not only that you are all complete sin, but has he led you to that other good gift of God, that unspeakable gift of his own son? Has he blessed you, he who is good, and that his goodness flow to you, that you see through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of those great unspeakable gift, as Paul said, the gift of his son? Have you ever said with your heart, maybe after Christmas, maybe after hearing the word of God, maybe after the sacraments, your heart just radiated. Like David, you couldn't keep it down anymore. Your heart was moved that the Lord was so good for you, such an absolute wretch. Not only because of all the goodness for your body, but especially of the goodness for your never dying soul. That's where we need to be brought. On Thanksgiving Day. And we need to be brought again and again and again. For he is good. But then he also says more. He says also, for his mercy endureth forever. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now we hear not only that he is good, but we also hear about his mercy. Another beautiful attribute of God, of his excellency. And mercy is always from someone above to someone lower. The Lord is merciful. He is mercy. He delights in mercy. He is rich in mercy. How? Through his son to unworthy sinners. Mercy means that he doesn't deal with us according to what we deserve. What do we deserve? What do you deserve? What do I deserve? We only deserve his wrath. We only deserve to be sent away because of all our sin. But he in mercy sends unto us his dear son to teach us, to instruct us through his word. And he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that you would turn unto him, to follow him. We only deserve his wrath, hiding his face and no communion. And yet, through the word, by the Spirit, through those merits of his dear son, Jesus Christ, he is merciful and he's good to absolute unworthy sinners. And sinners begin to cry unto him, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. How did you wake up this morning? Did you wake up this morning, children or older ones? Were you amazed that you were alive? That's how we should wake up every morning. That we're still alive. That we're still on this earth. That I can open my eyes. That I can take a breath. That I can walk. That I can see my family. That I can even come again into God's house. We know that text in Lamentations 2, 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Because he has not dealt with us according to our sins and iniquities. That's how we should wake up, with thanksgiving unto him. Unto him. The Lord is good. For he is good. And he is merciful. And yet, with all his blessings, how do we live by nature? Sin, sin. I pray that today you may receive a broken heart, for he is good. Think of the goodness not only for your bodies, think of the goodness for your soul. God, who is infinite goodness, and his Son is infinite goodness, he sent into this world to suffer and to die. Why? So that unworthy sinners who only deserve wrath and nothing good, only the opposite of good, can receive such great blessings and benefits through his Son, so that they in the future may dwell with him who is good, and in his goodness every moment of their life. And he is merciful, and his mercy endureth forever. Forever, David said. And he said in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see that? Goodness and mercy all the days of my life, and then he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a blessed people. A blessed people who learn, I deserve nothing good. I deserve only wrath. But the Lord, for he is good. He is so good. And his goodness, congregation, when you taste something of that through his Son, by his grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that breaks the heart. I remember being in the hospital, having surgery, and then hearing from the nurse that it was a miracle, a wonder, that my bowels were already beginning to work. I didn't understand it. I just took it for granted. And I said, what's so wonderful about this? And she said, that doesn't normally happen, especially with the surgery we had. That simple thing, well, not so simple, wonderful, that just broke my heart. And I could sink away. And then that same nurse came to me later and she said, if you want to talk about all your pain, you can speak with me. And I said, I don't have pain. I only have joy. I only have happiness. She looked at me kind of strange. Why? I said, because the Lord is so good to such an absolute unworthy sinner. And she didn't understand it at all. And I tried to explain it. But the goodness of God breaks hearts to those who learn they're only worthy of wrath and nothing else. And that he's merciful. And he continues to be merciful and continues to be merciful in spite of all our sins and iniquities and transgressions. And so we come to the end of this message, an exhortation on Thanksgiving Day. How is it in your heart and in your soul this morning? Are you living like we considered last year, those 9 lepers, receiving all the blessings? All the blessings, but just carrying on. No return. No return of praise. No return of thanksgiving at all. If you live this way and you die this way, I must tell you today, on Thanksgiving Day, then you will perish. But have you, by God's grace, learned who you are? An unworthy sinner, an absolute wretch. Maybe you could even say, I'm just a beast. Is that who you are? And yet the Lord blesses you with all things for your body. But he even did more in his grace. He blessed you. He sought you. He renewed you. He taught you who you are, who God is. He showed you that way of salvation through his Son. Of him who is good. Of him who's only good and perfect good to unworthy sinners. Did you come to that place like that one leper? As we read in Luke 17, verse 15 and 16, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Is that you? Can you identify a little with David and this leper? Has the goodness of God through his Son broken your heart? And have you tasted something of his mercy and you long again to be in that place, to be in that place that your heart just breaks again. And that your heart can just flow out. Because he's so worthy to be thanked and to be praised continually. And it's coming. Those who learn to live in thanksgiving and praise now on this earth, it begins in this life and it will not end. No, it's only a beginning. It's only a poor beginning. But it will come one day when they will be forever delivered from all sin, from being so poor in their thanksgiving. They will be delivered. He will come and he will take them home to dwell in his house forever. And then they will forever be with him who is good. And then they will forever sing and praise and glorify him around his throne, like we read in Revelation 7 verse 12, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That's the future of those who learn. Nothing in self, but he is good and he is mercy to such a wretch. Blessed future, blessed people, blessed eternal Thanksgiving Day, all through the grace of God. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard from thy word an exhortation to each one of us. And thou hast that right to demand of us that purpose that thou hast created us. Oh, wilt thou teach sinners, convict and convince them of their sin that they miss that purpose. Bring them to repentance. Bring them to that place where they also may taste of thy mercy and of thy goodness through thy Son. Oh, Lord, remember also thy dear people. Oh, may their hearts, our hearts, been have stirred up this morning. May there be broken hearts. May there be that true, humble thanksgiving unto thee. For thou who art good, infinitely good, and full of mercy to such unworthy sinners through thy dear Son. Lord, give us such a true Thanksgiving Day. Keep us in this day. May we again come together tonight to hear again thy word. Lord, give opening, give a blessing for the glory of thy name. And may we give thee thanks for this day, to be able to be in thy house, to hear thy word, and for thy help to hear and to proclaim thy word. Forgive us of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing in closing now Psalter 378, stanzas 1 and 3. Give thanks to God, for good is he, his grace abideth ever. To him all praise and glory be, his mercy faileth never. His wondrous works with praise record, his grace abideth ever. The only God, the sovereign Lord, whose mercy faileth never. 378, stanzas 1 and 3. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.